Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to our Thursday morning class at the Young Israel of Woodmere. Today we are learning the Zecher Nishmasa Hena Eidel Bas Yaakov Alaha Hashalom on the occasion of the second Yahrzeit, which is today, Tas Cheshvan. And we thank Aura Lerner very much for her sponsorship and dedication and her sponsorship to the Young Israel of Woodmere based Medrash program. May the Nesham of Hena Eidel, Bas Yaakov, Alah Al-Shah, Merit Azchus, Aliyah Neshama, and Zechira Latova, and the merit of the Divrei Torah that we will share together this morning. So last time, I told you that was sort of all the introduction. And what we did last time is we went through a Meshech Chachma, if you remember the Meshech Chachma, I hope you remember the Meshech Chachma, in depth with the footnotes, explanation, and commentary. I'm going to recap it very, very quickly just so we remember where we are, because this is really part two, and we're exploring this idea of leadership and how being Oseik in Tzarchei Tzibur, being involved in helping with the needs of the community, actually elevates a person. It does not decrease a person from their standing. You might think it would, says the Meshech Chachma, but just the opposite. And who do we learn that from? Two biblical personalities. Noach begins as an Ish Tzadik Tamim Haya B'dorasav, but he ends as an Ish HaAdama, Perek Tes Pasuchav, Vayachal Noach Ish HaAdama Vayata Kerem. Why, says the Meshech Chachma? Because Noach secluded himself and he did not help other people. And one who only cares about themselves, you would think he has more time for Torah learning. If you have so much time for Torah learning, you're going to rise higher, 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 says the Meshech Chachma. But you see, by Noach, he was not involved in helping the people at all, and he had a Yerida. On the other hand, we have a person like Moshe Rabbeinu, says the Meshech Chachma, who began as the Ish Mitzri Hitzilanu Miyad Haroim. The Torah identifies him as an Egyptian man, which is not a complimentary term, but certainly not how we meet Noach. And yet at the end of his life, because Moshe spent his whole life Oseik in Tzarchei Tzibur, I mean, he was completely selfless. Everything he did was for the people. He begins as an Ish Mitzri and he ends his life as Vezos HaBracha Asher Beirach Moshe Ish HaElokim Paraklamet Beis Pasuk Av as Yisrael Lefnei Moshe. So the Meshech Chachma says, you learn from here how great it is to be Oseik in Tzarchei Tzibur. And if you remember, the last footnote of the Meshech Chachma we read was from the Medrash Devar Rab, and the Medrash says so beautifully that Moshe and Noach met. And Noach says, I'm greater than you. I was the only one saved from the generation of the flood. And Moshe says, no, I'm greater than you because I saved myself, but I saved other people along with me. And so the Meshech Chachma explains to us that even though we might think that someone who gives so much to the community might fall lower and lower, the opposite is really true. So last time I used the example of Chabad Shlichim, who are people who are really Oseik in Tzarchei Tzibur, who ultimately are helping so much that you see that Chabad is so successful all over the globe, even in the decades since the Rebbe's passing. They're clearly doing something right. What they're doing right is being Oseik in Tzarchei Tzibur. I was thinking another example that is so relevant to our community is, and so many of you are probably personally involved with this, is members of Hatzalah. Because members of Hatzalah have to drop everything voluntarily, without dollar remuneration, without accolades, without medals. They drop everything. It could be in the middle of a minyan. So you're saying you're missing tefillah. You might think someone who is there for the entire tefillah, from the Moda Ani all the way to the end of Shir Shoyam, is going to rise higher, higher. And the one who runs out in the middle of Kriya Shema B'Tzibur, he's going to fall lower, lower. But the actual hafach is true. The one who's involved in Hatzalah, who runs out in the middle of davening, in the middle of Yom Kippur, in the middle of Megillas Eicha, in the middle of the holiest moments of the year, has to run out. So you could say he doesn't have enough time for Torah learning. He does not have as much time for tefillah. He might have to run out in the middle of the rabbi's shir. And yet, being Oseik in Tzarchei Tzibur, says the Meshech Chachma, actually causes us to rise higher and higher. This is something that I shared when I went to be Menachem Avil Carol Kraus, Allah HaHashem. When I went to be Menachem Avil Carol Kraus Shetichya, upon the passing, the untimely, shocking passing of her husband, Zichrono Levracha. I remember when I was pregnant with my boys, so they're now 16 and a half years old, so this goes back like 17 years ago. We were still living in Cedarhurst before I moved to Woodmere, and there were some complications a number of times during the pregnancy, and Hatzalah needed to be called. I guess I was dehydrated, I'm not sure. I remember I was sitting on the couch in the old living room, And the first Hatzalah members who came couldn't start an IV line. They were what's the difference? The paramedics start the IV line? Hello? Yes? You don't know? Okay. They couldn't start the IV line. You need, I think it's the paramedics who can start the IV line. So they called Dr. Krause. And he came because he could start the IV line. But I specifically remember, and I told this to them, Carol and her daughters, at the Shiva house, and especially when you're expecting, your sense of smell is heightened. But I remember he smelled like onions. I'm not saying something derogatory. I remember thinking he must have been in the middle of eating. He's literally, it was like the summertime or early fall. Maybe he's in the middle of a barbecue. Maybe he came home from a long day of work. He's finally seeing his wife and his children after so many hours. It means he left the hamburger, probably with the bun and the lettuce and the pickles and the tomatoes and the sliced raw onion, to come to my house to take care of me. And if you've read anything about him since his patira, he was a man who was a truly Adam Gadol. The amounts of chesed that he did, free dentistry that he did, patients who he knew couldn't afford it, who couldn't bill it, all the homes he went to read Megillah to the homebound on Megillahs on Purim because they couldn't get out to shul. He himself was on Hatzalah. The amount of chesed that he did. So you just read some of what's come out in the month after his patira. I mean, it's just astonishing. How does a person reach such a high level from being Osek in? His neshama should have an aliyah. His family should have a nechama. We should learn from such a person what it means to be Osek and Sarchei Tzibur, to put up yourself. I remember to this day, could you imagine? And I thought he must have been mamish in the middle of his meal. So this is what it means to be Osek and Sarchei Tzibur, and a person like Moshe Rabbeinu put everything aside in order to be involved with the family. In fact, Rav Soloveitchik has a very interesting psha. If you look by, there's a very interesting story by Moshe Rabbeinu. I shouldn't say story. There's a very interesting narrative that the Torah tells us by the Malon, by Hibadarch Bamalon. And Perek Dalid of the Sefer Shmos, okay? Perek Dalid of Sefer Shmos, when they are on the way back, finally the whole Maisa by the Sneh, and Hashem gets very upset at Moshe Rabbeinu, Perek Dalid, Pasuk Yod Dalid, Hashem's very upset, so Moshe finally goes to Yitzro, he says, I need to go back to free the Jews in Egypt. Okay, so Moshe's on his way back to Egypt, from Midian, and they're at the hotel. One second, I want to find Pasuk with Rashi to tell you exactly what I want to say. They're on the way back to Egypt. They stop in a hotel. I always just think it's so interesting when the Torah tells us, like we have by Yosef and the brothers, or Rashi and Lech Lecha also tells us, this week's parsha, about Avram. When he descended to Egypt and when he went back to Egypt, he stayed in the same lodging. Like, did they have bed and breakfast? Mariah, King David, what did they have? I just think it's really cool. But anyway, Vayhi Baderech Bamalon, it was on the way in the hotel. Vayivkesheu Hashem, Vayivakesh Hamiso. Moshe is Chayv Misa. Why is Moshe Chayav Misa? What's wrong? He accepted God's assignment. Okay, under duress. He is going to be the Osek in Sarchei Tzibur like you never saw before. What's so bad that he's Baderech Bamalon, and now God meets him, an angel of Hashem meets him, and he wants to kill him. Targum Onka says, Va'ara Bamalacha de Hashem. A Malach of Hashem meets Moshe. It's Perek Dalet for your reference, Pasuch of Dalet in the book of Shmos. So an angel of God wants to kill Moshe. Why? So Rashi says, one second. One second, I want to find the Rashi. Okay, Rashi says, Bamalon, Vayihi Baderech Bamalon, we're talking about Moshe Rabbeinu. Why Vayivakesh Hamiso? All of a sudden, there's a wanted poster out for Moshe Rabbeinu, wanted for death. So Rashi says, Umipnei ma na anash misa. Why was he punishable by death? Says Rashi, Lefisha nis aseik Bamalon tchila. Because he was busy with the arrangements in the hotel first. What does that mean? So Rav Soloveitchik in the Rav Thingol out on the Parsha offers an extremely interesting pshat, which ties into this idea of someone who's Osek and Tzarechei Tzibur. The path to being Osek Tzarechei Tzibur means putting your own needs aside. Again, the Lashon of Rashi is, Ubimnei ma na'anash misa lefishanis aseik b'malon techila. So Rav Soloveitchik teaches something extremely interesting. What happens when you get to the hotel? You call housekeeping. First you say, where's my room? You schlep in all your luggage. and the snacks from the car, and my day was Game Boys, but now I guess that's not relevant anymore, and the pillows, and the neck pillows, and the blankets, and the sweatshirts that fell over the trunk, and all the snacks, and don't forget the tefillin, you slap everything inside. Then you get to the room, and you see there's no pack and play for the baby. So you have to call housekeeping, and you say, I need a pack and play. Then you need extra towels, so you call for extra towels. Now there's not enough Kleenex. We need more little bottles of shampoo. He was busy with his family, with the Asek of the Malon, Tequila. What he should have done was gone straight to Egypt and been busy with Tsar Chet Sibor and freeing the Jews. It was not Moshe's place. Now, by the way, don't go home and start neglecting your family because you came to the Shir. Most people, besides for Moshe Rabbeinu, have to learn how to balance family with Tsar Chet Sibor. Like I saw in one recent article about Dr. Krauss that he enjoyed Kanei Nahar along with his wife, Shatichya, so much, their 9 grandchildren, Kane Yirbu, and he was considering retiring and starting to work part-time and maybe moving to be closer to them. So a person can be an Adam Gadon, Osech, and Tzarchi Tzibur, and also be a family person. Moshe was the extreme of he could not be involved with family at all. But this is an interesting pshat, a very interesting chiddush of the Rav, Mipneishen is Asik b'malon tchila. It was not his job to call for the shampoo and the pack and play and the towels and the room is dirty and send up housekeeping and who forgot the bottle in the car. Let's see Pora take care of that, which is why, by the way, she does Brismila. Brismila is a mitzvah for the father, but the Rav explains this is all symbolized in the fact that she takes the stone and she makes the Brismila. It's symbolizing that Moshe cannot be a father to his family. It relates to Noah, Moshe being a Gilgal of Noach, but we're not getting into that now. Tzipora to take over, because for Moshe, he was at the ultimate extreme of Osek Tzarchi Tzibor. So again, no one here should get the wrong idea, you know. Don't go home and tell your family you're not cooking for Shabbos and you're never doing the laundry again because you were doing Tomchei Shabbos. For that, you're going to have to cop an achet. That's not the correct approach. But we do have to look, for Moshe was right. The people had to go back to their tents. But Moshe Rabbeinu was totally dedicated to Hashem. But we learn from here that a person who is Osek and Tzarchi Tzibor, not only will they have a Yerida, they will have an Aliyah to higher and higher and higher levels. Okay, so that's a recap of the Mesha Chachma, along with an insight of the Rav related to Moshe Rabbeinu, which really ties into the Mesha Chachma as we spoke about last week. And now we come to the next biblical personality, the next major biblical personality, because this week's parasha is Lachacha. And if there was anyone who was Osek in Tzarchi Tzibor par excellence, besides for Moshe Rabbeinu, it was Avram Avinu. He is 10 generations away from Noach. Perakid Aleph enumerates the 10 generations from Noach to Avram. We come from Shem. Avram came from Shem. And the Mishnah tells us in Mishnah Avos, Perak Aleph, Mishnah Beis, that the world stands upon 3 pillars. It's one of the most famous Mishnahs. You're all familiar with it. Ala Torah v'al ha'avod v'al gmilu chasadim. The Torah is held upon what holds up this whole world. How come the world doesn't shatter into smithereens? Even though sometimes politically and economically you think it feels like it is. But what is actually holding up the world? What's holding up the world is Torah, Avoda, and Gemilas Chasadim. Torah is Torah. Avoda, Rabbeinu Yonah so beautifully explains in his commentary to Avos, used to be Karbanos, the Avoda's Karbanos. He says, V'hine lecha mipnei ha'avoda nivra kolam kulo. Rabbeinu Bechaya says, for the Karbanos on Har HaMaria, the whole world was created. But today we don't have Karbanos. Rabbeinu Yonah says, today Hashem sefasai tiftach ufi yagiti lasecha. So Torah is Torah. Avoda is today tefillah, and Gemilas Chasadim is exactly what it sounds like, doing acts of chesed for other people. When a person does acts of chesed for other people, most of the time it means they're being osek in Tzarchi Tzibor. Now, those 3 pillars, Rav Yisrael Meir Lau brings this down in his Yachal Yisrael, his commentary to Pirkei Avos, but others discuss it as well. But that's the first place that I saw, that each of these pillars corresponds to one of the patriarchs. Torah learning corresponds to Yaakov v'yigdulu haneharim v'yi'esav esh sada, isho de'atzayit ish sada, v'yaakov ish tam yoshev ohalim. What does it mean? Yaakov was a simple man, he dwelled in tents. So what does Rashi say there? Beginning of Toldos, Perachav Hei, he sat in the tents of Torah, yeshiva shem ve'ever. So the pillar of Torah corresponds to who? Yaakov Avinu. The pillar of Avoda corresponds to who? Yitzchak, he was the korban. And then he became the man of tefillah. Yitzchak Lasuach Basada Lifnos Erev. When the Kala comes home, he's davening Mincha. And then it told us, Vayetar Yitzchak Lashem Menochach Ishto Ki Akarahi Vayetar Lashkem. Yitzchak goes from the man of Korban to the man of Tfila. So the pillar of Avoda is Yitzchak, which by process of elimination leaves Gemilas Chesed and Avraham Avinu. So you see that our nation was founded not first on Torah and not first on Avoda. Our nation was founded on the patriarch we meet in this week's parsha, even though we really meet him at the end of Noach, fine. But in this week's parsha, who do we meet? Avraham Avinu. Well, he's not yet Avraham Avinu, he's Avram. But his whole life is one of chesed for other people. There are so many examples of how Avram is what you could call osek in tzarchei tzibor. First of all, when we meet him in this week's parsha, 12:4, vayerech Avram, Avram went, vayerech itolo, vayerech Avram kasher diber lav Hashem, 12:4, Avram went, like Hashem commanded, vayerech itolo, who's Lot? His brother jumped into the kibshon ha'esh after him, Rashi to 11:28. If Avram comes out alive, I'm on his team. Avram came out alive. Haran jumps into the Kibshon Ha'esh. What happens? He dies. And then you have Lot. So Avram adopts Lot, so to speak, and he takes him along with him on his journeys. He didn't have to do this. Lot was not 5 years old when this story happened. We don't know how old he is, but he's clearly an adult. And yet Avram takes him under his wing, pun is intended, because the next thing you know is Perak Yud Beis Pasuk Hey. So when they went to Canaan, when they come to the land of Canaan, they take the nefesh asher asu b'charan. So what does Rashi say? Who are the souls that they made in Charan? They are the people who they brought under the wings of the Shechina. Avram megayar eskan anashim, v'sar megayar es anashim. Like they were the first Chabad shlichim. They didn't say we're too busy dealing with our infertility, which is causing stress in the home, to worry about you and your business with God. They took it upon themselves, besides for what they did in the home, to be a bastion of kiruv in the world. You know, in the story Rebbe, not story, in the book Rebbe by Joseph Telushkin, which if you haven't read it, I've recommended it before. You should absolutely read it. I told you when I finished reading, I said to my husband, I think we should convert, meaning to Chabad. It's just unbelievable. So in there, the author, Telushkin, he did an experiment 1 year before the Yamim Noraim. He called an Orthodox congregation and he asked for seats for the Yamim Noraim, and he was told there was this price, and he said it's too expensive, he can't afford, and they said, we're sorry, we can't help you, we're sold out. Then he called her a conservative place. Then he called her a Reform temple. He said, the one thing that everyone I called could agree upon was that if I can't find tickets anywhere else, it's in the book, call Chabad. But they all told me it was call Chabad. So what did Avram and Sarai do? They brought people, tachas kanfei shechina. They didn't say, we're too busy to deal with your problems. We're going to put our own stress, our own worries, our own ten nisyonos aside to worry about somebody else. And then in Perek Yudalit, in this week's parsha, Avram Mamish goes to war. He goes, you don't think of Avram as a soldier, as a warrior, as an IDF tzahal, young, you know, warrior going out to fight. Avram is this chesed guy, this Torah guy, monotheism, spreading the light of God in the world. But Lot is captured. When the four kings trample upon the five kings and Lot is captured, Avram could have said, listen, this is your problem. You chose to live in Sodom. You knew it was a very bad place because Anshe Sodom, Raim v'chataim v'hashem ma'od, because Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Yud Gimel, this week's parsha tells me that the people of Sodom were wicked and sinners very much. Begufam u'b'mamonam. So why did you go live there? Don't come to me now crying. Oh, I was captured in war. Who told you to go live in such a place? And yeah, Vayerakas Chanicha, Vilide Beso, and he runs after them, Vayer Defeim Adon, and he goes into battle for them. That's in Perek Yodalad, Avram Avinu goes to war. We know that when Sarah ultimately sends away Hagar and Yishmael, Vayera Hadavar Me'od Be'ene Avram. Another example that we see of his unbelievable chesed is the last posuk in Perek Chof Aleph, which is not this week's parsha, it's Vayera. But we're looking more at the totality of who Avram Avinu was, more than specifically one pasuk or one parsha or one sedra. And at the end of Perek of Aleph, the last thing we learn is Vayita Eshel Be'er Sheva, right after he makes a pact with Avimelech, Vayita Eshel Be'er Sheva, Vayikrashem B'Shem Hashem Kel Olam. He plants an Eshel in Be'er Sheva, and he calls her in the name of God, the King of the world. Okay? What's an Eshel? So different interpretations of what an Eshel is. Medrash says that it's an acronym for Achila Shasiya Levia. He set up a place to give people to eat, to drink, Levias to accompany them on their way. Some opinions say it's also Lina. He gave a place for food, drink, or you need a place to rest. Food, drink, can I accompany you on their way? This is going beyond your boundaries to worry about the needs of somebody else, which is the antithesis of Noah, who was a tzaddik, but who was not osek in tzarchei tzibor, achila shasiya levia. Furthermore, Rashi says in the Chumash that it's a pundak. A pundak, he quotes a disagreement between Rav and Shmuel. One says it's an orchard to bring fruit for the guests. And the other say it's a pundak. A pundak is an inn where he gave the people lodging and food. So Rav and Shmuel are not really having an argument. They really compliment each other. He planted an orchard, a pardes, and from that pardes he took food to give to the people who are staying in the pundak, achila shasiyalina. So Avram Avinu corresponds to the pillar of chesed. Everyone agrees that Avram is what we call the bechinas chesed, the essence of chesed. Chesed means going beyond what is comfortable for me, what is convenient for me, and learning to do for somebody else. The greatest teaching that we have, the greatest proof from Avram Avinu that we have, that bolsters, not that the Meshech Chachma needs me to bolster anything he said, but that adds something to the Meshech Chachma's words. Meshech Chachma, remember, says, one who isolates himself and is only Osek in Torah, Tefillah, will rise higher, you would think. And someone who's busy with other people, you would think, would rise lower, would fall lower. The opposite is true. He who is Osek in Sarchei Tzibor goes higher. Ish Mitzri becomes Ish Elokim. He who worries only about his own levels starts as Ish Elokim, Ish Tzadik, and ends as an Ish Ha'adama. When the three Malachim come to Avram Avinu, okay? We already quote a few examples from Lechacha, as her nefesh asher asu b'charon, going to war to save Lot. A couple of examples from Vayera, Vayita Eshel. When the three malachim come to Avram Avinu, what's he in the middle of doing? This is perhaps the most perfect example that I could think of right now when I was preparing the shiur on my notes, the most perfect example that I could think of that illustrates that a person sometimes has to put their ruchnius aside in order to do, right at a shul in the middle, because you got out salkal, but it's ni'ilah. The gates are closing. How could I not daven for myself and my family? Oh, let that person who's choking worry about themselves. What Hatzal member would ever say that? None of them, but you're missing the ilah. You're missing the final shofar blast. They're going to leave. Why are they going to leave? Because the importance of tzarchei tzibur and rising up higher and higher. So Avram Avinu, what is he doing in this week's parasha, in this week's sedra, and Perek Yud Zayin? It ends with bris milah. The last thing we have narrative in this week's parasha is Avram does bris milah at the age of 99 years old for himself and all the males of his house. And he is not a young person. He's recovering from his bris milah as Perek Yud Ches opens. God appeared to him in the plains of Mameh. Mameh gave him advice for Bismillah, so he has the schos that Hashem does hachnasas bikur cholim in the plains of Mameh. And he's sitting at the entrance to the tent like the heat of the day. But then what happened? So that's the first Rashi to Parshas Vayera. Why was Hashem there? Quoting Sota Yudal at Aleph, Levaker Esachola. Why did Hashem come? To do bikur cholim. Now, I could think of many guests you might not want to come to be at your bedside. I could think of many guests you might want to be at your bedside, but it's not always the best time. And then there's God. God came to visit Avram because he was sick. Yom shlishi lamilaso uba levaker sachola. So there's God. But it's so hot outside, because Hashem took the sun out of its sheath, so he shouldn't be bothered by Orchim. Which proves that Hashem knows that his entire life is one of being Osek in Tzarchei Tzibor. Otherwise, Hashem would not have needed to take the sun out of the sheath. Hotzia chama mi karnita. I always have trouble pronouncing the word. Hashem took the sun out of its sheath, which means that Avram is totally the bechinas chesed, or Hashem would not have had to do that. Do you understand? Because if Avram would say, "Oi, I'm not feeling well. I'm in so much pain. Get me a Tylenol. Get me a Percocet. It didn't work. I need a hot tea. I need an ice pack." Hashem would never have needed to take the sun out of its sheath. Hashem does not like to change teva. The Gemara tells us about a certain, I don't remember if it was Tana or Mora, that he was able to nurse his child, and Chazal said it is garua. Woe unto him, a miracle was done for him. Hashem likes when the world runs al pi teva, to prevent Avram from going with his nature, which is, what's his nature? chesed, 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 tzarchi, tzibur, needs of the community. So Hashem had to, so to speak, take this land out of its sheath, or Avram would not have stopped doing what he did. But Hashem saw he was pained, so he sends Orchim. What does he see? He's so excited. He's running to meet them. This is what I live for. He's running out of Shul, the most elevated holy. He's running out of the Kodesh HaKodashim. It's him and God. Forget Ni'ilah. Forget the shofar. Forget Shabbos. Forget eating your barbecue at your table with your family, your onions and your hamburger and your bun. It's a sourdough bun or it's a pretzel bun and your Dijon mustard and your gourmet pickles and your raw onion, but someone needs an IV, so you're going to leave. Forget that. It's God. God, Hashem. He never appeared to any of us so directly. Thank you so much for coming. I'm going to put my ruchnius aside to go get water, so these all day avodah zarah could come to my tent. They need to wash their feet. Be, now, if it's Chol or Hashem, be Adonai, imna matzasi chen, b'eini avdacha, al na tavar me avdacha. Thanks for coming. I can't learn right now. I can't listen to the Shia right now. I can't say Yehi Shmei Rabba right now. I have to go take care of somebody. Not the Gadol HaDor. Dusty nomadic Arabs with the dust of Avodah Zarah upon their feet. So you, God, could wait here. The Gemara says in Shabbos, Kuf Chav Zayin Aleph, what do we learn from here? Gadol Hachnasas Archim Mikabals Pnei Hashchina. Gadol Hachnasas Archim Mikabals Pnei Hashchina. It is greater to welcome guests into your home and take care of their needs. Now, Avram was not welcoming Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Zecher Tzal of Kodesh Levracha. Nukach Nama Amayim, so they shouldn't bring Avodah Zarah into his home. And what does he tell Hashem? I can't be busy with my own ruchnius now, because there is someone who needs my attention. He doesn't ask where you are on the religious spectrum. He doesn't ask what kind of kippah you wear or you don't wear, if she wears pants or she wears skirts, pantyhose, no pantyhose, sandals, clothes, who's black hat, white kippah. No, he says, I have to go. And this is what the Meshech Chochmah is trying to teach us, and this is what we learn from the biblical personality who appears after Avram Avinu, who appears after Noach. There's a stark contrast. It's not an accident that we have Noach, we have the Dor HaFlaga, and then we have Avram Avinu. Avram was already alive, by the way, by the time of the Dor HaFlaga. I read something beautiful. Oh, I don't remember which sefer. If it was called Ram of Moshe, may have been. But the reason the Dor HaFlaga were not as corrupt as the Dor HaMabul, and they weren't totally washed away, is because Avram Avinu was already in the world. And the power of him already being in the world was influencing people. It diminished their corruption. Another example of how that's not my own thought. It may be Darash Moshe on the Chumash of Moshe, but it could not be. But it's not my own thought. I read it in a Sefer. That the reason the Dar Flaga, Perikir Aleph, was not as corrupt as the Dar Mabel, who were totally washed away, because there was an Avram Avinu in the world. So you see, unlike Noah, who secluded himself from all these examples in the biblical narrative that we have just gone through, that Avram Avinu was able to influence people because he took it upon himself to go out of his way to change others, help others, work for others, just like Moshe Rabbeinu. And it's fascinating that Avram is the founder of our nation, the first father, and Moshe is the greatest rabbi. These are two of the greatest leaders we have ever had. They were kulo tzarchei tzibur. One more thing I want to tell you, and then I'm going to go to Rav Soloveitchik, again with the sun coming in. Baruch Hashem, it's sunny today. It would also be Baruch Hashem if it's rainy today. That happens to be a Baruch Hashem, it's sunny. One more thing I wanted to tell you. Interestingly, you see Avram rose higher, 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 because towards the very end of his life, or it's not really the end of his life yet. Sarah died at 127. He was only 137. He lives for 175 years. But like Rav Soloveitchik points out, once the matriarch passed on, the patriarch's role faded into the dimmed. Avram lived for a long time after Sarah. But what do we know about him? Not really very much. He married Keturah, and that's basically it. Without her, there's no him, really. Without Sarah, there's no Avram. But One of the last things we know about him is the negotiation of the Ma'ar Samech Pila. And Parak Chav Gimel. Soon it's going to be Parshas Chayisara. I hope, I believe everyone will be converging, many Jews will be converging on Kiryat Arba. I'm sure you saw on Motzei Shabbat there was a terror attack in Eretz Yisrael. Ronan Hananiah, age 50 years old. His birthday was supposed to be Wednesday. His wife, Meirav, was Maspid. Him and his son, Daniel, it seems that they had one child together. Daniel, they had gone into a convenience store, Daniel it would be, I guess. And when they came back to the car, terrorists opened fire. Ronan Hananiah was murdered. And when the medics came to help the wounded, the terror shot on the medics. And one of the paramedics was taken to the hospital in critical condition as well. Why did I say that? Because we're coming up to Chayisara, Kiryat Arba Hichavan. All right. One of the last things we know about Avram Avinu is the purchase of the Ma'arat HaMachpelah for a burial place for his wife. And it's amazing that he also has a Tohar, like Moshe Rabbeinu, who is an Isha Elohim. Avram Avinu, similarly, at the end of his life, is described in a similar term. What do the B'nai Chay say? Nisi Elohim Ata Besochinu. Nisi, a prince, Elohim of God, Ata Besochinu, Begumi Kvar, Kvarini Kvarst Mesecha. They call him a man of God. Just like Moshe, who spent his whole life working for the people, who ends his life with the Torah, a man of God, Avram Avinu also ends with the Torah, man of God. I was just thinking something interesting. Moshe is called an Isha Elohim. Avram is called Nisi Elohim. I don't know. I didn't come up with it yet. But Nisi is made up of the letters Ish plus a Nun. So I'm not sure what the Nun stands for. I haven't gotten that far. You understand Moshe is called Isha Elohim at the end of his life. The whole premise of the Mesher Chachma is that being Osek and Sarim Chitzibur brings you up higher, higher. As we bring many Dugma'ot today from the life of Avram Avinu, Rashi, Chumash, the Gemara. And Avram, at the end of his life, is described as a Nisi Elohim. So Nisi is Nun, and Sin Yud Aleph also spells Ish. So what's the significance of the 50? I'm not sure, okay? But interestingly, that they're both described in a Tohar, a complementary term of being a person of God. What were they? They did not sit in the yeshiva all day. Avram was not Yaakov, who sat for 14 years in the yeshiva Shein Ve'Ever. It's gewaldic, it's wonderful. Chas v'sham, I'm not saying anything. He's the father of the Shiftei Ka. But the founder of our nation was not the Kolo Yungerman. The founder of our nation was someone who was Osek all day in Sarchei Tzibur, as was Moshe Rabbeinu, and they were both defined in terms descriptive of being a man or a person of God. It's interesting, Rav Soloveitchik reminisces, before the piece I want to tell you, which I'm going to write now, Rav Soloveitchik reminisces that when his father, when his grandfather, Rav Chaim Brisker, was Nifter, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Levracha, so his grandfather insisted there should be no To'arim on his Matseva. He didn't want any To'arim, but the Rav says that his father, Rav Kmosh, and his uncle, the Griz, Rav Yitzchak Zeva Levi Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, insisted it say one thing. So what should it say on the Matseva? It could say, go on, Talmud Chacham, Baki Bekala Torah Kulo, instituted the Brisker method of Torah learning. They insisted on one thing. What should it say? Ish Chesed. Because what is the definition, the epitome of an Ish, a Jew, an Adam Gadol? Someone who is involved in caring for somebody else. Thank you, God, for coming. I'm sorry, I can't hear your drasha right now. It's Hashem, it's not the Shul Rabbi, it's God. I'm going to take care of those people. I'm quoting from the Sefer, the Rav, the world of Rabbi Joseph. Oh, this glare. Okay. The Rav, the world of Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik. Okay. The Rav, the world of Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik, Rabbi Arner Kefet Rothkopf, Volume 1. I want you to understand, says the Rav, we have many stories about Rabbanim of old. Germany had its stories, Lithuania had its stories, and so forth. These stories do not revolve, says the Rav, only around their scholarship. This was related by the Rav in May 1979. We have many stories that do stress the scholarship of the Rabbanim, but that is not the main topic that has motivated us to tell stories about Rabbanim. The main topic motivating these stories is the sensitive conscience and sense of justice that the Rav possessed. Sensitivity. Justice. For instance, there are men, listen to this line, well, listen to the whole thing, but he doesn't mean to be humorous, but listen, for instance, there are many stories about my grandfather, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. And please, I am not trying to somehow sell you my grandfather. First of all, he does not need to be sold. And secondly, I am not a chassid in the sense that I tell stories in order to glorify and magnify a person. There are many stories about my grandfather's intellect. There is no doubt he possessed great intellectual ability. In my opinion, he was one of the greatest intellects who lived at the turn of the century, not only amongst Jews, but also amongst Gentiles. His intellect, he's talking about his grandfather, Rav Chaim Brisker, was tremendous. Had he been a philosopher or a scientist in any field, he would have changed that particular field completely. I will tell you, frankly, this commands respect. But this is not the main trait of Rav Chaim. Yes, it's true, he had an excellent head. He was a genius, no doubt about it. He was an abstract thinker, a revolutionary, as far as the interpretation of halacha is concerned. He revolutionized halacha. My father, Rav Moshe, once told me that if it were not for Rav Chaim, his father, Rav Chaim, the Beis Halevi, Rav Chaim, Rav Moshe, the Rav, the Beis Halevi, Rav Chaim, the Griz. My father once told me that if not for Rav Chaim, there would have been no possibility of teaching halacha to modern young men who had good training in science. They were fighting against the Haskalah, the movements in Europe at the turn of the 1800s into the 1900s that were rampant in terms of moving away from Torah. Rav Chaim made it possible to teach halacha to anyone, even those advanced in logical analysis. They will find halacha is exalted and just as abstract as the most complicated and advanced mathematical logic. And then the Rav says, quote, so Rav Chaim was brilliant. He was brilliant. He revolutionized Torah learning. The method is still down to today. It was interesting when we were in Eretz Yisrael. I remember a few weeks ago, I mentioned Derech Avot and the mikvah Derech Avot. So when we were there, Pesach, so our tour guide, we were in the Gush, we spent a day in the Gush, and he pointed out Yeshivat Har Tzion. Yeah, is that what it's called? Har Tzion, yeah? So he says this is the premier yeshiva in the Hesder yeshiva system. And he said it's comparable to the Mir. In other words, that's the premier in the yeshivish world. This is the premier yeshiva in the Hesder yeshiva. Now, who is the Rosh Yeshiva? Rav Aaron Lichtenstein Zatzal. Who is Rav Aaron Lichtenstein? The Rav's son-in-law. And Rav Yehuda Amita Zatzal. And he told us something very interesting. That our method of learning is the brisk method. Why is our method of learning the brisk method? Because Rav Aaron Lichtenstein was a son-in-law of the Rav, who was a son of Rav Moshe, who was a son of Rav Chaim Brisker. He says it's the premier yeshiva and the Hesder yeshiva world, and their method of learning is the brisk method of Torah learning. So Rav Chaim is absolutely brilliant, and he revolutionized Torah learning. And then the Rav says, and the Rav himself was brilliant, quote, however, I am not impressed by these abilities. They were given to Rav Chaim by the Almighty. Think God's going to be proud of a person's IQ when they get up to Shemayim? He gave your IQ. He knows what it is. You can remember Sukkim, Gemaras, who cares? I gave you that ability. However, I am not impressed, the Rav says about his grandfather, by these abilities. They were given to Rav Chaim by the Almighty. Some people, he, God, capital H, presents with a beautiful, precious gift. Great intelligence. While others get very little. This does not impress me about my grandfather. I am more impressed by his heroism as far as social justice is concerned. Social justice, worrying about other people in society, making sure the downtrodden was famous. The Rav speaks about elsewhere that in Rav Chaim in his home, who knows, I'm sure I can imagine, I can't imagine how small the home was in Brisk, but the ante room, the front room, had people, homeless people sleeping there all the time. Unwed mothers would drop off their babies on his front, by his front door. I am more impressed by Rav Chaim's heroism as far as social justice is concerned. If there was a real socialist, not a Marxist socialist, but if there was a real socialist, not a Marxist, it was Rav Chaim. He possessed a most sensitive conscience and a sensitive heart, along with unlimited courage. I am telling you this so we can understand what the Torah demands. I have many stories about this aspect of Rav Chaim. There was once a strike in Brisk. The Rav continues. Again, this lecture was related at Yeshiva University, May 22nd, 1979. The annual Tanya Salvechik Memorial Lecture. There was once a strike in Brisk. I'm not trying to mislead you, since who could strike in Brisk? They did not manufacture anything. Parentheses, audience laughter. One article they did manufacture, matzah. In Brisk, they made matzah. And there was a strike in Brisk. So those who worked in the matzah shops went on strike. Rav Chaim supported them and collected money to feed the workers who were on strike. It was Brisk. It was not New York or Boston in 1979. It was Brisk at the turn of the century. Rav Chaim almost lost his rabbanus as a result, but he did not deviate. Putting my own ruchnius aside, to care about, take care of, be involved with somebody else. Putting my own dinner aside to go help someone who needs an IV. Running out of shul to answer the haksal call. Setting up Chabad in Iceland so that the random Jew who comes here is not even affiliated, they will have a place to go. Telling God, wait here. Thanks for coming. I know you're God, but I have to take care of these dust worshippers. Rav Chaim also almost lost the rabbanus, but he did not deviate. Somebody dropped off in my mailbox this week. She doesn't want to be named. But actually, prominent members of the Young Israel of Woodmere, but she doesn't want to be named. I don't know if anybody saw. She saw it in the Jewish press, and she dropped it off in my mailbox. And on Tuesday, this past Tuesday, was the Yahrzeit, the 26th Yahrzeit of Mr. Joseph Rosenberger. Anyone know that name? Yeah, so what did he found? That's exactly right. Mr. Joseph Rosenberger founded the All Shotness Laboratory. And she wrote in her note, she asked not to be mentioned, otherwise I would say who it was. She asked, she said, I know this might be a strange request, but I saw this in the Jewish press. And the 7th of Cheshvan is the 26th year state of Mr. Joseph Rosenberger. And he wrote in his tzava, they had a copy of the excerpt from the tzava, because I spent all my days educating the public about the mitzvah of Shatness, I did not have enough time to learn Torah. I am requesting that people please learn Torah in my memory. I will consider this a repayment for all my years of service to the community. If you are unable to learn, please say Tehillim for my neshama. Mr. Joseph Rosenberger, All Shotness Laboratory, and she wrote in the note that she remembers as a child hearing about the Shotness Laboratory in Williamsburg. So we see clearly that we have examples of people who understand that to become closer to the Ribono Shel Olam is to work with other people, to do for other people, to care for other people. Rav Chaim could have said about those on strike, you shouldn't have gone on strike. I should collect food for you. Not my problem, you're striking. He didn't address the strike. He just made sure that they weren't hungry. I'll give you another example. What time is it? Okay. The halacha is that if two people, a man and a woman, God forbid, die in the same day, the woman is buried first and the man after. Shulchan Aruch Yoredeah, he gives a source. It happened in Brisk that the most outstanding friend of Rav Chaim, a great scholar and lay leader of the community, Rav Chaim Zalman Lifshitz, died in the morning. This man had actually been responsible for the election of Rav Chaim as the Rav of Brisk. Otherwise, Rav Chaim Brisker would never have been elected if not for Rav Chaim Zalman Lifshitz. He died in the morning. At the same time, a poor woman in the Brisk ghetto, meant a Jewish neighborhood, this is before the Holocaust, a poor woman in the Jewish ghetto died. It was the winter. The day is short. We're changing the clocks now this weekend. sang to my son last night. He called from Masif to Baruch Hashem, so I told him to change the clocks. So he said he heard that there's a yeshiva, so I was so happy. He said, you're going to get an extra hour of sleep. I don't know if other mothers are worried about their, especially teenage children, not getting enough sleep, but it always makes me happy when my children, I take after my mother. If I would ever say, Ma, I'm tired, I'd always say, you'll feel much better, Michal, just take a nap. So I said, you're going to get an extra hour of sleep. So he said he heard there's a yeshiva, I don't know which one. Instead of changing the clocks at 2 a.m., whatever, in the middle of the night, they're changing the clocks the next day, Sunday, in the middle of Second Seder. He said, Mommy, instead of an extra hour of sleep, they're going to get an extra hour of Torah learning. I said, I was so happy. I thought you were going to get an extra hour of sleep. He said, no, it's not Darch. I don't know what Darch is doing. I heard about Nadish. I said, that's hysterical. They're waiting till the next day to change the clocks. But then I said, if the government could make fake time, summer's fake time, by the way, it's fake time. Arizona doesn't change the clocks. It's fake time. Daylight savings is nothing. So I said, if the government can make fake time and change the clocks whenever they want, then that yeshiva could also change the clocks when they want. Why did I say that? I don't know. Because the last line I read was, it was the winter and the day is short. So two people died. This wealthy gavir, this prominent man who was responsible for Rav Chaim's appointment as the Rav of Brisk, and this poor, unknown, anonymous Jewish woman. And it's winter, so the day is very short. The Gabbaim of the Chavre Kedisha calculated it would make no difference, and the woman is buried. In Lita, Lithuania, they also used to bury at night. No one would come to her funeral anyway. Quote, Rav Chaim Zalman Lifshitz was a pillar of the community. In the morning, it would have been a big send-off. In the evening, not many people would come. They decided to bury him first. And they began to prepare the body, the Tahara, for Kavura. When Rav Chaim Brisker heard the story, he sent a messenger to the Chavra Kedisha to stop preparing Chaim Zalman Lifshitz's body for burial. They should bury the poor woman first. If his burial had to take place at night, then so be it, it could not be helped. The Chavra Kedisha ignored the orders of Rav Chaim Brisker and continued to prepare Rav Chaim Zalman for burial. Rav Chaim Brisker took his cane, put on his coat, and told his shamus to accompany him. Now, I'm sure if there was anyone whose Torah learning every second was most valuable, it was Chaim Brisker. But he got up, he took his cane and his coat and his shamus, and he went. Says the Rav, the shamus was actually present, and he's the one who told me the story. They went to the house of Rav Chaim Zalman Lifshitz, the greatest and most outstanding friend. Rav Chaim Zalman sacrificed himself in order to elect Rav Chaim, the Rav of Brisk. Nevertheless, Rav Chaim Brisker told the Chavra Kedisha to leave Rav Chaim Zalman, go to the ghetto, and bury the poor woman first. This was Rav Chaim, says the Rav about his grandfather. This was his tremendous courage. It was not because people criticized him, and yes, he lost a few supporters. It was courage to act. He himself personally mourned the passing of his great friend, Rav Chaim Zalman. He sacrificed himself, however, his own emotions. But he could not help it. Sometimes one has to have courage to carry out the law. I can tell you, says Rav, hundreds of such stories. These are not stories of miracle workers. It is a great man with great intellect, but he must possess a great and sensitive heart. That was Avram Avinu. That was Moshe Rabbeinu. Havdil, that was Dr. Stephen Krauss. He particularly should possess courage. You shall not tremble before any man. How does a person, we're understanding very much from many different sources, that a person who is an Osek in Tzarchei Tzibur, a person who is Osek in Tzarchei Tzibur, we began with the Mesher Chochma last week, doesn't fall down, he rises higher and higher. We spoke today about Moshe. Don't forget by the, what was the example I gave you? By Moshe, by the Malon, by Hibadarch B'Malon. We've spoken about Avram. We've spoken about a member of our community, Zichron Levracha. We've quoted the Rav, quoted the Gemara and Shabbos. In this week's parsha, Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Hey. It tells us, Vayikach Avram es Sarai Ishto, ve'es lo ben Achiv, Avram took Sarai his wife, and Lod his nephew, ve'es kol rechusham asher achashu, all their possessions that they possessed, ve'es hanefesh asher asu b'charan, I already quoted this, and the swords they made in Charan, v'yetzu l'leches arza kanan, v'yevo arza kanan. Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Hey. So there's a kasha. What does it mean? So I know what it means he took Sarai. That's his wife. I know what it means he took Lo, his nephew. I know what it means you take your possessions, because if you move from one place to another place, you pack a suitcase, you send a lift, and you take your possessions. What does it mean, v'asa nefesh asher asu b'char? And I quoted this already. So Rashi says, Rashi gives two interpretations. It's very interesting, because it's unlike Rashi. I don't know why. We need further thought. Usually Rashi puts the pshat before the drash. If you look in Rashi, you'll see, first he puts the drash, and then he puts the pshat. Everything Rashi did is medakdik. It's not an accident. Okay? Perhaps he wants you to remember the drash more than the pshat in this case. The drash is what's important. They're both important. But the pshat, which he tells you second, it's that's the servants and maidservants that they made in, that they acquired in Charan. But I want to talk about the drash. The drashic interpretation is, I quoted it before, by Chabad, they were the first Chabad shlichim. Who are these people? Who is the nefesh asher asu b'charan? Sheichnisum tachas kanfei shechina. It's the myriads that they brought under the wings of the Shechina. He didn't sit over the Gemara the whole day, Avram Avinu. He did not. He was setting up stations and going, look at the Rambam. Hilchos of de kochavim perak aleph, in the biography of Avram Avinu, halacha aleph through beis. He went from city to city, Medina to Medina, year to year, Medina to Medina, country to country. What did he do? He was telling people about God. He didn't sit over the Gemara. He didn't make a Siyum HaShas every year because he was so busy talking to other people, teaching other people. Tzar Chei Tzibur, leave your hamburger to help the 29-year-old woman who needs an IV in her arm. You could say that's somebody else do. Why should I do it? Just got home after a long day. You could say I already filled my quota of chesed today. Nobody knows about all the patients that I didn't bill who couldn't afford it, so I'm finished with my chesed today. I should go take care of her. Avraham Avinu brought people under the wings of the Shechina. He took care of their physical needs, like Vayita Isha B'Be'er Sheva. He took care of their spiritual needs, Rashi to 12:5. Avram Megayer Ha'anashim V'Sar Megayer Sesanashim. So I heard for the first time, you know I listen to Rabbi Zev Lev Shira, but I heard very often he repeats, he tells over reviews, Baruch Hashem, you can't compare what you learn 100 times to 101 times, it's a chazar, it's a chazaka. Sometimes I hear him say over the same stories, the same insights. It's good, it helps me remember it more. But I heard him say this year in the beginning of the week an insight I never heard before that relates exactly to this premise of these two shiurim. Why does it say, Rabbi Zev Lev pointed out, Es ha-nefesh asher asu b'charan? What should it say? Ah, oh, it's in Lashon Yachid. If you look at art school, it says the souls, S-O-U-L-S, that they made in Charan. But the truth is, if you translate that carefully, it's and the soul, S-O-U-L, Lashon Yachid, that they made in Charan. It should really say the souls they made in Charan. The souls. Why does it say the soul? It should say nefashos, asher asu b'charan, not the nefesh. So Rabbi Zev Lev proposed something, which I think is a very beautiful way of understanding how when a person is osek in Tzarchei Tzibur so much, it gives them a tremendous aliyah. That's what the whole Mesher Chachma was. You start as an Ish Mitzri, but if you're osek in Tzarchei Tzibur, you end as an Isha Elokim. Avram Avinu began as an idol worshiper. Look at the Rambam. His father worshipped idols, his mother worshipped idols, and the Rambam says he worshipped along with them. He began as an idol worshiper who ends as a Nasi Elokim. How does being Osech and Tzarchei Tzibur make a person into a man of God or a prince of God? Rabbi Zev Lev said something so beautiful. As hanefesh asher asu b'charan. Exactly. That's exactly right. They made themselves. They made their own nefesh, their own neshama. Being in Kirov, bringing people under tachas kamfei shechina, enlightening people with the word of God, caring for the spiritual and physical needs of other people, like we've shown from the sources Avram did his whole life. Never mind the elevation you give to anyone else. as Hanefash Asher Asu, the soul that they, Avram and Sarai, made. Whose soul did they make? Their own soul. Chazal coined a phrase which I just want to share the exact pasuk with you. Chazal coined a phrase which Rabbi Leftina quote, but relates to this idea very much. And that is, it's brought in a number of different places. Yoser mima shabal bais osa im ha'ani ha'ani osa im ha'bal ha'bais. More than the homeowner does for the poor person does for the homeowner. It doesn't literally have to be homeowner and poor person. More than the giver does for the receiver does for the giver. So maybe we can understand the Meshe Chochma's theory and the ascension of both Avram and Moshe based in this light. Really, when a person spends their time doing Vayita Eshel Be'er Sheva, Vayikoshem B'Shem Hashem Kelob, Achila Shasiyah Levia, Pardesh, Pundak, he runs to battle, Vayarakas Chanichav, Hichnisim Tachas Kamfei Ashchina, Moshe Rabbeinu, there's countless examples of his Osek and Sarchit Tzibur. What a person is really doing, besides for doing for somebody else, is fortifying their own soul. You make yourself stronger. And if you read anything about Dr. Steve Krauss, he turned himself into such an Adam Gadol. How? By doing so much for other people. The Pasuk says in Megillas Rus, Parak Beis, Pasuk Yates. And Medrash Rus Rabbah quotes this Pasuk. So they come back. She comes back with this Moabite daughter-in-law. It's the biggest news in the last decade. What a shanda. The whole town is shunning them. No one wants to hear from them. And finally, they find this righteous man, Boaz, a relative. Ultimately, of course, marries her. And he lets her glean in his fields. Not only can she glean in his fields, he says, don't even go to anyone else's fields. Stay with my lads. And she's going to be fine. Okay? Everyone else is ignoring. They don't have money. They don't have food. They don't have husbands. They don't have flocks. They come back. Mara. Al tikrenelim na'ami. Karali mara. Kehe mar shakaili ma'od. Everything is bitter. She goes out one fine day. They're starving. Rus goes out. My gosh, she comes back with sheaves of grain. She has barley. They have something to eat. I can make soup. Vatomar la chamosa. Efo likatet hayab. And her mother-in-law says to her, well, where did he do leket today? The bundles that fell from the harvesters, the poor person's allowed to pick up. Where did he do leket? Va'ana asis, where did he do this? Yehi makireich baruch, the one who recognized you should be blessed. Va'tagei v'chamotah, she was told her mother-in-law Naomi, eis asher asasa imo. Eis asher asasa imo. No one's smiling. I don't see anyone's eyes have lit up, so it means you don't get it. Her mother-in-law says, where did you get food? So she tells her mother-in-law what she did for him. She didn't do anything for him. She's barefoot. She's a Moavi. She's the pariah in town. She's in Cherem. No one's talking to her. She brought the biggest embarrassment upon Naomi. Naomi says, wow, tonight we could have barley soup. We're not going to starve. Where did you do this? Where did you get this? Vatagei v'chamota, et asher asita imo. Or vatagei v'chamosa, es asher asasa imo. She told her mother-in-law what she did for him. Vatomer sheim ha'ish asher asisi imo hayom. Sheim ha'ish asher asisi imo hayom. Boaz. She should say what he did for me. The name of the man who did for me is Boaz. She says what I did for him. The name of the man who I did for him is Boaz. You didn't do anything for him. He gave you gleaning of wheat, of barley. He gave you grain. You're not going to starve because of him. She says to her mother-in-law that I did for him. Says Medrash Rus Rabbah on this pasuk, Yoser mima shabal bayis osa im ha'ani. More than the receiver does for the giver does for the receiver. I think it ties in beautifully to Rabbi Zev Les Pshat. didn't mention this Ma'amar Chazal, but to me it's very clear. What's a nefesh asher asu b'char? Read a gaval de chiddush. Forget the avadim and shvachos. Forget the people yichnusum tachas kanfei hashchina. Avram and Sarah spent their lives making who? Themselves. How? Not because the Gemara was open. Not there's anything wrong. We need those people also. Kni of Yisachar, we have Zvulin, we have Torah. It's one of the pillars that holds up the world. But Knias Chesed is also a pillar that holds up the world. And Noach begins as an Ish Elokim, but falls to Ish Adama. Because Elisham the Pshat, he didn't do anything for one other person. I'm not talking about his wife and kids. An entire generation. And Avram, who spends his entire life putting God aside, I quoted the Gemara. Please wait here. Thank you, God, but I'm not going to your shir now. I'm missing the Ila. I can't answer Kedusha with a minion. I'm going out. Begins as an idol worshiper and ends as an Isha Elohim. Because kol ha'osek b'tzarchei tzibur ba'amuna, HaKadosh Baruch Hu yishalem scharam, ha'nefesh asher asu b'charon. Perhaps we could tie in Ma'amar Chazal to Rabbi Zev Lef's beautiful chiddush. That a person does for other people, ultimately, they're making themselves into a tremendous Adam Gadol. So when I say that Dr. Krauss smelled like onions, it's not an insult. It's a tremendous compliment. It's a person who makes himself into a true Adam Gadol. We thank our learner very much for her sponsorship of today's shiur. L'zecher nishmas Hannah Edel Bas Yaakov on the occasion of the second Yurtzei today, Tes Cheshvan. We thank her for her sponsorship and dedication to the Young Israel of Wimmer Based Medrash program. I wish everybody a wonderful day and a Shabbat Shalom. Thank you so much. Kol Tov to all.